Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 26. I'm Jamie.
And I am August.
If you didn't listen to last episode, we are alone this recording this week. John has left us. He went to Vegas. He has three hookers. Last I heard.
It's three.
At the same time.
One might have died throughout the night.
I would imagine at least one died.
At least, yeah.
The way he goes,
you got,
man,
three hookers, you know, exhaustion. At least one's got to die.
Yeah, right.
It's not like even by your hands, you know.
No, no.
Cocaine.
Right.
Jealousy from the other strippers.
Sure. I mean, hell yeah. She could just fall down the fucking stairs.
Exactly.
Life happens, people.
And that death is happens, why John is not here.
Death happens just as fast. No, this is the episode where we discuss a topic, and we are doing a very short and sweet episode, just like last episode. We want to talk about a very broad topic that has a lot of potential, because honestly, right now, we did touch upon, like, underpaid animators in film last week with, you know, with Sausage Party's turmoil behind the scenes. But I like the idea of talking about something very broad, like our topic. What's the best decade in film?
And well, I feel like it's going to be a short episode because we, you know, spitballed this before, and I think we have the same decade.
We don't.
We don't.
Not for the sake of argument.
Shit, he's changed it on me.
I want you to go first, though. What to you, what's the best decade in film?
70s.
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 Now, why did you pick the 70s?
I have a trusty Google here, and for you folks listening, just go ahead and pull it up and be like, you know, 70s movies. We've got The Exorcist, Jaws, Star Wars, Close Encounters.
Deliverance.
Deliverance. Rocky.
The Godfather.
Godfather
trilogy,
Alien, Superman, Rocky Horror Picture Show, Monty Python's and the Holy Grail, Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
Dog Day Afternoon,
Saturday Night Fever. Oh, I don't know if you've noticed. I'm just saying the ones that are like popular in pop culture.
Star Wars? Did you say Star Wars?
Yeah, I said Star Wars. Then we got like MASH, Grease.
Yep.
The Omen.
Yep.
Live and Let Die.
The Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man.
Original.
Really? Oh, shit.
Yep.
So now I'm going to go through. I'm going to pick out, you know, the ones that I'm like, hey. The French Connection.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot about it. I've heard it's really good. Like, if you want a car movie, like Fast and the Furious, fucking go back and watch The French Connection.
Yeah.
Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Taxi Driver.
Of course, Scorsese at his beginnings, yeah.
Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
See, and I'll go to that really quick. I mean, to me, one of the most prolific directors of that decade is Francis Ford Coppola.
Yes.
He has four films in that decade, all of which feature John Cazale. That guy was one of the best actors ever alive, and he was only in five films.
You're going to have to put in relation to Taxi Driver, because I haven't, Apocalypse Now, because I have not seen Godfather.
You're right, sorry. He's not in Apocalypse Now, I don't think. He was Fredo Corleone, but you did not see The Godfather. Did you see The Deer Hunter?
No,
not Coppola. That's another film, by the way. Day Afternoon.
That's not Coppola.
I know it's not. That's Sidney Lumet. Dog Day? Sidney Lumet.
Mean Streets.
Yeah.
That's Pacino still, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
But point is, so John Cazale is, to me, is, oh, and sorry, the other one I wanted to mention earlier, Coppola, The Conversation, one of my favorite films of the 70s.
Oh, yeah, see, I'm not done. I'm still going through.
I know.
Like all these other movies, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, my God, yep.
I guess, you know, lately it's been really huge in pop culture, Clockwork Orange.
Yep, Clockwork's great.
Annie Hall, for you Woody Allen fans.
It's a good movie. I liked it.
I tried. Chinatown.
Oh, my God.
Chinatown.
Fucking Chinatown.
Freaking amazing.
Yep.
Did a sequel of it. Not Polanski.
The Two Jakes?
The Two Jakes.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Wonder why.
Mean Streets, yeah, fucking rocking it. Serpico,
yep.
Pacino was rocking it. Young Frankenstein. We got Dirty Harry. Then one of my all-time favorites from that decade, Enter the Dragon.
Oh wow,
freaking Bruce Lee. It's a badass movie. Oh shit, Willy Wonka.
Oh, of course. 71.
And my favorite, lesser-known Kubrick, Barry Lyndon.
Ah.
If you got a spare 3 hours and 23 minutes, you can find a copy. I had to go all the way to Canada to get a copy of it. Not through Amazon. But no, it's an amazing period piece movie. It's during the English-French War, during some year that I can't remember. I was horrible in history class. I heard things about 3 Days of Condor. But anyways, like, 70s has got some freaking movies. There's one thing about all these movies that I listed off. They're considered the top movies of the 70s. All original.
I mean, some are based on adaptations.
Whoa, books. Yeah. That's true.
And a lot of them are, actually.
Actually, yeah. But, yeah, Apocalypse Now.
Willy Wonka. I think Dog Day Afternoon is based on a real story.
Yeah. One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yep. The Taxi Driver.
Sure. No, I'm not saying that there's not originality. I'm saying... Shit.
More what I would say are risky ideas. Risky yep. stories. I mean, shit. Clockwork Orange. I feel like that's pretty risky. You know, given the main character. Apocalypse Now. Taxi Driver.
I will bring my decade up and we'll talk about it after. I say, for the sake of argument, the 1980s. Now, the reason I say the 80s, because I was thinking about this in more of like a grand scale, right? I was thinking of this of each decade as a period in a human's life. Where there is, you know, of course, the beginning of cinema in the early 1900s. It was more just for capturing footage just to capture footage. And then the first one of the bigger first films is The Great Train Robbery that had a story, had some editing, you know, and it freaked people out.
Oh, yeah, the shooting.
Yeah, but I mean... To me, that was like the early days of the medium as a whole were something to me that were like fascinating. It was infancy. And you get in the 30s, you know, the 20s and 30s, like silent films, break-ins, and the talkies. And by the 40s, late 30s, early 40s, you got films that were like, it's like when you get, it's analogous to when you get a 5-year-old bring his first like test and you get an A on it. You put it in the fridge. It's a time in his life where he did something so cool in that time for that age, and so he's so proud of. And maybe he was an honor student early on. And so to me, like, as films grew, there is some elements of, like, you know, like Citizen Kane was heralded as one of the better films of that time. Like, Casablanca, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz. Those start being the tentpole films, right? Yeah. Of that era. And then as it gets further and further into it, the 50s, the 60s. And I'm really not too well adept on the 50s and 60s. That's where I kind of have a big gap in my life. I mean, late 60s, like Easy Rider, sure.
Really, back then it was foreign films.
Sure, like, yeah.
That I have grown to be really attracted to.
Kurosawa.
Kurosawa.
I mean, Jesus, he was holding it up for a lot of the time. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch much of Cary Grant or Humphrey Bogart and all kind of those celebrities at the time.
I'd say Bergman.
Double Indemnity, that was good.
The Searchers. Shit, who is that?
John Ford?
Yes, John Ford.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Westerns were big then.
Yeah.
And, so the 70s to me, like, so the 70s were on the cusp of this revolution in technology. Because film had been getting more high quality ever since the beginning of the medium. But then, like, as the 70s got in, storytelling was so beautifully well done. You know, 70s were great for storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about the 80s and of course the tail end, the 70s started doing that, like from Jaws on, from Star Wars, that kind of thing, were the more fantastical sci-fi elements.
Okay, yeah.
So the 80s were huge for sci-fi, huge for like fantasy in general. I mean, you got like smaller films like Labyrinth and... Dark Crystal, of course, Legend and those kinds of films. But I'm not a fantasy fan, I like sci-fi. So like after Close Encounters, Spielberg did... E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Not one of my favorite films of his, definitely not. But it was another film that really brought aliens more into that mainstream thing. What's the matter?
Holy shit. I thought E.T. was before Close Encounters.
No, 5 years after. 82.
Oh shit.
So then E.T. and then it got more fun, and I like that side of things. I love the 70s, don't get me wrong. 70s have some of the best films of all time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many of those films of the all-time list are in the 70s. Like the 70s have some of the best quality films, but I'm arguing I had more fun with the 80s.
Okay, yeah.
And in fact, I appreciated the 70s as I grew older, where the 80s were more palatable for a younger kid like myself. So I was born in 85.
Okay, see, yeah.
Right? So I didn't see a lot of the 80s films as they were coming out, but in the early 90s, I was catching up on all these films.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'll just rattle off some, like you did here. I mean, you got a lot. I mean, of course, you have E.T., the other two Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, Indiana Jones, the entire trilogy's in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
The first Batman, Rain Man was a great film, one of those I think that kind of continued the trend of the 70s quality of storytelling or character development.
Yeah, Hoffman.
Revolutionary technology. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Back to the Future. Those kinds of things where the CGI was getting better in the 80s, mid-80s especially. I mean, Gremlins. I mean, homoeroticism at its best, Top Gun. I mean, you get some other stuff.
Days of Thunder?
Days of Thunder, yeah. Yeah. Look Who's Talking was something that was, to me as a kid, great. Not
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah.
You get a lot of series, a lot of franchises that started there. Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours. 48 Hours, I had only seen either one of those last year. And 48 Hours is fucking way better than Beverly Hills Cop. It's more dark. It's more, you know, it's rated R. It's more mature. And it has, like, a more violent undertone. I mean, majority of the Rocky films were in the 80s. I don't really care about sports films, but...
Yeah.
I mean, Ghostbusters, the first one.
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was one of my favorite films as a kid.
Yeah.
The animated films, Disney had a little rough patch in the 80s and started coming back. I mean... You know, they had, like, Oliver and Company was pretty fun, but then Little Mermaid was the first big one in a long time for them, like, since the 70s, or maybe the 60s.
Well, that was the 80s.
Yeah, it was 89, rather.
Shit.
And you have a lot of the Bonds, you know, I haven't seen much of the Bonds, but...
Yeah.
Aliens
yeah.
was in there. More Dustin Hoffman, Tootsie.
It was Terminator...
Yeah, Terminator.
70s?
Terminator's 84. 84,
okay.
I love that movie. The first one. That was 91. The Die Hard series started in the 80s. There's some good, like, quality, like, Oscar-worthy films. I mean, I don't know if you're a fan of Spielberg, but The Color Purple was really good. That was 85. I like that movie.
I can't do Spielberg.
It's all right. It's okay. Most people can, but I get it.
The thing about Spielberg is, like, he does well-made movies, but that's just it. Just well-made. Okay. That was a serviceable shot. Serviceable. I guess that's a better word to put it. Like,
yeah.
He can make a serviceable movie. Something that on a technical level, you can't be like, he did a bad job, or that's bad lighting, or, you know, bad audio cues, and shit like that. But he doesn't do anything new.
A lot of comedies came out, too. Like, you know, you have, I mean, Big's a cool fantastical element, but, I mean, you have, like, Porky's, Stripes, Meatballs, Vacation, Back to School. Yeah. I mean, God, man.
Breakfast Club.
Trading Places is great. Breakfast Club's awesome. I mean, John Hughes, man. John Hughes alone. Like, when I think of directors in the 80s, 70s is Coppola, 80s is John Hughes. Like, it really is embodiment of the type of movie that were out that time.
Yeah.
Airplane, Police Academy.
Yeah.
Not that those were all good, but the good ones are in there. The Naked Gun was a fucking great trilogy. Loved it.
Leslie Nielsen.
Yep.
Leslie fucking Nielsen.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean, to me, the blockbusters are positive and negative. There's a lot of pros and cons. And they were started in the 70s with Jaws, really.
Well, see, that's what I would say is that 70s was the genesis of film as a spectacle.
Absolutely.
And then 80s took that and just ran with it.
70s started it, 80s perfected it.
No.
Okay, let's put it in another analogy, right?
Okay, so I mean, I would agree with you. It's just that the 90s and the aughts have ruined that. Because now that's all it is.
Yeah.
And it's just... I'm not saying we can't have spectacle in cinema. If that's how it draws some of the people to go and actually go to a movie theater, fucking great.
Yep.
But if that's the only thing that's shown in a damn theater, it sucks. Because it's no longer a spectacle.
Right.
I can't enjoy 4th of July anymore as 25 years old. I mean, that's why the majority of us older people, why we just go out and they're like, oh, that's just a reason to get wasted. Because it's like, okay, that's another firework. That's another firecracker. While as a child, you're like, each one is like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's awesome. It's loud.
Now you have a celluloid version of that with Transformers. Oh, explosion, explosion.
Or it was Transformers, comic book movies. Star Trek movies, Star Wars movies, any action movie, where it's just loud explosions going off, and it's just like, I'm no longer, you know, have a spectacle for it, because it's like, okay, you know, this is just another explosion that I've seen in another movie.
Yeah, and another analogy that would work, like, let's say the 70s were the, NES era of video games.
Okay.
And Super Nintendo took upon what the 70s had created and made a lot better. And then the 90s, to me... are the N64, the PlayStation, where they had such great special effects, but they were so shitty back then. And looking back in the 90s, like we talked about this with Independence Day and everything else, it's much more dated than anything from the 70s or 80s. Because a lot of the special effects don't hold up. It started becoming that spectacle, I should say, style over substance.
Yeah.
Than the 80s or 70s had. It was more of a realistic approach to those. So the 90s became really shitty and do not hold up as well, for the most part.
No.
And then in the 2000s, like, it got more pretty, but... Even, like, now, like, let's say whatever the hell the analogy is for PS4, like, or that kind of era, you got these digital download games that are, like indie movies. They're super high quality, visually stunning, great story.
Risky,
yes. And there's a medium for them. There's a format for that. There's an audience for it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a matter, though, of these AAA games, or in this case, AAA movies, blockbusters that are, for the most part, kind of generic and cookie cutter and repetitive.
Very.
And it's sad. I mean, I think that's more indicative of the way we perceive media now.
Yeah.
I mean, the 70s films were a much more slower pace, nice slow click. You get to really learn about your characters. You get to absorb their surroundings and live vicariously through them and know why they were feeling that way.
Well, yeah, be introduced to new characters that have a different lifestyle and thought process that's different from you.
Yeah.
I mean, you go, this is going to be like a really weird comparison, but Captain America, Steve Rogers, everyone can be like, oh, you know what, he's, you know, a nice guy, he sticks up to principles or whatever. You compare that to fucking Travis Bickle.
Ugh.
Where you watch, you know, Travis Bickle and you're just like, you're intrigued. You're like, okay, yeah, he's a Vietnam vet, so I can kind of see why he has this personality, but it's so alien, so strange, mm-hmm. It draws you in.
And... Travis Bickle's the best villain. I mean, he's better than any Marvel villain, but he's the hero. He's the anti-hero. But that's the thing. To me, like Taxi Driver, to me, Travis Bickle is what they want you to do for villains. He is the hero of his own movie. You're essentially watching a villain's movie.
Yeah.
He's a terrible person. But it's because of a circumstance where what he's been through, what he's going through now, his mundane job that he can't stand, and it eats him up inside.
Yeah.
And...
Well, the people that he deals with.
Sure.
Society.
Sure. And so, I don't know who the hero would be, quote-unquote, in that story, but the 70s had the ability to delve deeper into character study. Like, one of the best movies of the 70s, in terms of critical praise, was Kramer versus Kramer. There's no action scene. There's no explosion. Mm-hmm. It's just Dustin Hoffman and, I think, Meryl Streep. It's a custody battle, but yeah. A divorce. But they're beautiful, like, matching shots. Like, when she was there, she was making eggs beautifully on the stove, and then all of a sudden he has to try to make eggs for the kid. Can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
He can't do shit. I don't know if it's eggs. No, I think it's French toast, right?
I haven't seen Kramer versus Kramer.
I saw it a long time ago. Jesus, must have been, like, 15 years ago now. 10 years ago.
It was playing at MIFF.
Was it?
Yeah.
Listen to episode 20 for our talk on MIFF, by the way.
Who's word?
Avery Corman?
Yeah, yeah. They were doing a thing on Avery Corman there. And I think he won an award. I would say PS2, Xbox, GameCube is the 70s, though. To fit your analogy.
Well, I mean... I was just trying to...
It came before the SNES and the PlayStation. The PS2 came before the PlayStation. But I mean, I don't want to say that movies all suck now. At the recording of this podcast, yes. If I could throw in a topic, there is nothing out. There is nothing out right now that catches any of my interest. And it sucks. Other than Kubo. I'm excited for Kubo.
Yeah.
I can't wait until I finally have a day off from work and I can go see it at a reasonable time.
It's just so hard to... I mean, with the special effects, with the advent of... the technology we have to make these films quote-unquote better, not only has it ruined the quality for the most part, but we have less films because of it, because those are the kinds of games and films that people want now.
Yeah.
And that's what sells the most, so even if we didn't want it, that's what the developers make the most money, a return on their film or game in this analogy.
All you fuckers around me, start getting smarter.
We talked about...
Start, you know, watching better movies so I can watch more of these, you know, good movies that aren't cookie cutter.
Like, when we talked about Midnight Special, I said that non-ironically, I wanted to make films like this that were more character development and that more story-driven and
yeah.
Didn't have to feed you all the information. Yes. But that's what the 70s was. That type of movie, like, you didn't have to explain everything. It was slower. No. And I'm afraid if I ever make a movie like that, I'm going to end up losing money or an audience because it's not right to the point action. You have to tell everybody everything.
Oh, yeah, explaining everything.
That shouldn't be a throwback style. That should be another option people have. And it only ends up being an option in indie settings.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. I think this will eventually crash. It'll be crescendo. And I think people will actually start wanting more of a story.
Yes.
I hope. God, I hope. Because
I fucking hope. Well, I mean, it's just comic book and these, like, nostalgic, dick-jerking films that are coming out now. They hit all the four quadrants that you're talking about. But I feel like a lot of these, like, you know, blockbusters and, you know, the majority of the movies coming out now, they hit all those four quadrants.
I mean, yeah, for the most part.
And then in the fall, we get the Oscar-baity movies that hit two of the quadrants. Which, what are the four quadrants?
Well, it's more about, like, age ranges. Like, kids... Yeah. 1834, adults. It's like something like that. It's more age ranges, the four quadrants, but...
Okay. Well, no, it's just like, well, we have all these action films and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, the reason why they're so dumb and just, like, in your face and explain every fucking single nuance to you is because it hits all four quadrants. It's safe. And it's for people that they go see the movie, they talk about their friends, be like, oh, that was a really great movie. That was really cool. That action sequence, it made me laugh when this character said this quip. Oh, and the Millennium Falcon popped up.
I got slime every crack.
Yeah, I was slime every crack. Ah! But then you have all these other movies, like The Lobster. I mean, yeah, I'll talk about, like, this line was a funny line, and this scene was funny. But also, like, I didn't understand this. What did you get from it?
Right.
And having those kind of conversations about it. I mean... I don't feel like I'm going to get those kind of conversations from Suicide Squad.
No.
Or even to use a good superhero movie, I guess, is Civil War. I use that as my basis for this year because that is seen as, like, the pinnacle of comic book movies for 2016.
Yeah. I don't know. Suicide Squad was pretty dope. Just kidding.
I'll tell you my Suicide Squad story.
Let's hear it.
Two nights ago, I was perusing on a certain forum board.
Horrormovies.com.
4chan.
4chan, okay.
And someone posted a thread, and they're like, I'm streaming a rip of Suicide Squad. So I'm like, ah, let's pop in here and just see what it is. And I caught it when it started when Deadshot is at the firing range or whatever. Y'all jokers must be crazy. Yeah. That, like, his watcher guard or whatever being like, you're not going to cuff him and give him a gun and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
And all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. I survived about 10 minutes. And I just, like, lost all attention and I just, like, closed it out because there's... It was at the point when I realized they did some scene and they had a song playing.
Yeah.
And then there was, I honest to God, 30 seconds of dialogue and then another fucking song came in as a montage. And I was just like, are you kidding me? You're doing this back? To fucking back.
Yeah, you should listen to our last episode fucking because... our episode
20, I feel like that, yeah. That
episode 22.
Good thing that you guys talked about.
Or rather, 23, I should say. Yeah, no, well, we talked about it because the entire first... I mean, you missed the worst part of it, the first 5-10 minutes, but when they're introducing everybody, it's like a fucking pop song after pop song after pop song.
Because each person has their own song?
Because the trailer house edited it. It was pretty fucking terrible. No, it's god-awful. I mean, that's why it's indicative of the year, 2016.
That's fucking hilarious.
No, it's terrible.
No, it's hilarious. Because Warner Brothers was like, our trailer's got a really, you know, good demographic, and the people responded really well to those trailers. So let's just make the movie like the fucking trailer. It's hilarious. Because that's the exact opposite I feel like you want to do with the trailer. Trailer, you want to bait... attention. Get people bait interest. So then you get the hook in, and then you have them sitting for the movie. And for the most part, you hope that, you know, the movie is better than the fucking trailer. Like in Bruges. But if you're making, you know, your trailer as the hook, and then trying to make your movie as the hook as well, then you're not going to catch any fish. Damn. Analogy right there. Did it work?
No.
Fuck. I'm not an analogy master like Jamie over here with video games and movies.
It's just easy to digest. No, I get it. I was kidding. No, this year, like I said, we talked about it in our year 2016 breakout, and I don't. So let's go into that. The decades of the aughts and now the teens, for the most part, blow dick. They're great films in every decade, but
yeah,
god damn, I just don't like where it's going.
This is one of the main problems about the nostalgia filter. I wasn't alive in the 70s. The list of the movies that I listed off, those are the cherry picks.
Well, it's like...
That's not every movie that was made that year.
Not at all.
I'm pretty sure for like every one great film that was made during the 70s, there's probably 5 or 10 others that were absolute shit that were in the theaters.
Sure, but in hindsight, in 2020, you're always looking at the best and worst of the year. You're not looking at the mediocre. And the best far outweighs the mediocre and the worst, I think, in the 70s. I think that decade really did have a lot of classic films.
All right, here, let's pull up 2000s movies. We're doing this on the fly. Holy shit. I just, at this list already, was what people can say. Dark Knight, Departed.
Yep.
Memento, Almost Famous. I'm not very well versed on that one. Zodiac, There Will Be Blood. Underrated, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Philip Seymour Hoffman is freaking amazing in that movie.
Requiem for a Dream?
Yes.
Almost all of the Harry Potter movies.
Inglourious
Bastards, the Bourne trilogy.
I don't want to say Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Fuck you, man. The Prestige.
Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind. Prestige is Nolan's best. That's just my opinion. Spirited Away.
Donnie Darko. The Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Hot Fuzz.
And Shaun of the Dead.
The Notebook.
Just kidding.
The Notebook. Old Dog.
City of God. That's fucking weird.
Are you on IMDb, bro?
No, not at all. Yes, I am. Black Hawk Down was pretty good.
Black Hawk Down is really good. For like a military action movie,
I liked it a lot.
Because it took like... Robert Altman, what they say about Nashville, or Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia, of like that ensemble film, and like different things happening in the same town. Like, they took that and applied it to a military film, and it made it great.
Mr. Nobody, 2009.
Mr. Nobody, yeah, that's good. Children of Men.
Oh, God, yeah.
Fuck, yes.
Two of the best franchises started in the 2000s as well.
Children of Men?
Nope.
Could you imagine that as a franchise?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, fuck off.
And Fast and the Furious. Yes.
Hey, Tokyo Drift.
Nope, not at all. Shit.
District 9.
Mean Girls was good.
Mean Girls is great.
No, I'm saying good because I don't know how you're going to react. Fuck you, man. You're going to jump down my throat if I say something that's good you don't like. So I just say good.
Just got to give opinions.
Do you ever say No Country for Old Men, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, I feel like that's a lot of Coen Brother movies.
Mm-hmm.
Burn After Reading. Do people not like that movie?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. They still watch it all the time.
Okay, you're proving your point. Each decade has its own standouts.
Royal Tenenbaums.
I haven't seen a lot
of Wes Anderson movies.
Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic.
Best. But, okay, I get it. But I feel like growing up, it's hard because while you're growing up in the decade, it's hard to pick out the top movies.
Oh, yeah.
You'll know them when you see them. But, I mean, like, in retrospect, you see the birth of films that you have amassed over that decade.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in the thick of it, it's not as obvious.
Yeah, it doesn't stick out for you. It was like, what episode was that?
What?
Where we went through, like, the best movies we watched this year so far.
That was the bonus episode a couple weeks ago.
Oh, the bonus episode.
Yep.
Starting out, I was like, God, I haven't watched any good movies this year.
Yeah, we both said that.
And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, holy shit, I watched a lot of awesome movies this year.
Yeah.
So that's to say, like, I get in the idea, like, this thought that, you know, oh man, this year sucked for movies. Or, like, right now, it just sucks for movies. But I've seen a lot of great movies. And I feel like there are a lot of great movies that are coming out.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You look back and you remember the shit the most. Like, a negative comment or negative experience, you remember it more than you would a positive experience.
Yeah.
So when you have to look back and actually, like, think about it, then you realize, okay, yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Which is why I think that it'll be hard to discern how this decade will shape up once we're done.
Yeah. We got four. Will we see the fall of superhero movies?
I don't think yet. They keep evolving. I mean, not the DC ones. They're fucking stupid.
Marvel movies... It's gonna collapse.
Marvel movies play different genres more than a DC film would.
It's like the stock market.
Yeah. ebbs and flows.
Buy now.
It's definitely buy now.
Jump ship. Abandoned.
Yep. I think DC will eventually kill it for everybody.
Good.
No.
I will love DC for that.
Not good.
Drive fucking superhero movies into the dirt.
Hey, I want to write... I have a written superhero film. It's not at all like the typical superhero film you see.
Do you think there's an audience for that?
That's the thing. This audience would be an indie film budget. So I don't know how it's going to pull off a superhero film, but we'll find out.
Super did it.
Yeah, Super did do it, but he didn't have any powers. These people do.
Oh, Chronicle did it.
Chronicle did do that.
Don't jump onto an actual superhero movie afterwards.
So did Hancock. I liked Hancock.
Fuck Hancock. You want to talk about bait and fucking switch? That trailer. No. The second half of that movie was a fucking switch.
Yes. I like that. I appreciate that. It's a different...
Stupid!
It's different.
Stupid. So stupid.
This is not the Hancock podcast.
I don't want to make it mythical. Like, I want to see a superhero who's down on his luck. It's a fucking asshole. And through the power of everyday people, make him realize, you know, I have this wonderful opportunity. And I'm wasting that potential. And that's something that an audience goer could be sitting being like,
Oh, I can relate.
Oh, I feel like I'm wasting my potential.
I'm not saying that wouldn't have been a better film. I was surprised, but I still liked what they did.
I guess that's why I was wanting to go into that for. But then it just turns out the main fucking threat was tornadoes. Fucking hell. Fuck off. You had the chance to, you know, take the superhero and like, put a fucking villain there. Put a face.
Yeah.
It should have been Charlize Theron. Mm-hmm. She should have been the villain.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that my point, my summation of this whole thing is that the...
No decade wins.
I admire the older decades for what they were. I'm more concerned with where it's going, like, you know, with pacing. And you have to throw an action scene in the beginning to get people's attention.
Yeah.
It bugs me. And so I'm afraid that if it doesn't collapse and start going back to storytelling, we're going to hit this micro high. Like, it's why YouTube's so big. It's quick videos.
Yep.
2-minute video. Anything longer, I'm not going to watch it.
No.
Why would I watch it? Why would I watch a 5-minute video? I'm stretching it at 5. 8 minutes? No.
If it depends.
It has to be really good the entire way through. Or something you like.
I'm gonna throw a plug out here.
Yeah?
For our movie lovers, Channel Criswell.
The hell's that?
I think his name's like Lewis Criswell. And he will go through, and his videos are typically about 20 minutes.
I've seen long form stuff.
But like, it's so in depth.
Mm-hmm.
And like he has some very interesting things to say. Like, it's typically about like directors and shit like that. And sometimes it's about movies. But usually those are like 5 minutes long. But yeah, I mean, it depends on the content.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Chris Stuckman, I'm not going to listen to him just talk about 20 fucking minutes long about Doctor Strange or some stupid ass movie like that.
I am part of one of those shows, long form podcast, like video podcasts with We Need Movies. And it's.
Uh-oh.
We have a variety of topics, a variety of different things we do.
You just throwing a plug here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But hey, Brandon. There's different things. Like, there's, I just worry about the movie realm. Like, even now, we'll jokingly say it, but if it's 3 hours, like, fuck. That puts you on a slight negative as you go in.
I would disagree with that.
No?
No. I mean, it depends on the movie. The
majority of people do, though. I mean, it's dictated by the theater experience, and if you have theaters who'd rather have a movie that's an hour and a half to get 5 viewings in rather than 4, they do it. And that slowly but surely makes people used to hour and a half, 2-hour movies.
I feel like if the story calls for it to be longer, no problem. But Barry Lyndon.
It's 9 hours, right?
No, it's 3 hours and 23 minutes. Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
Yep.
Goodfellas. Could you imagine a shorter Goodfellas?
Probably not. There's nothing really you could cut out of that film.
Exactly.
What about Gone with the Wind?
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I, but I think it's almost 4 hours long.
And see, that is one of the things, is that I won't, because the story really does not resonate. The director who is famously, or maybe not famously, that has gone on to say that he wish he could cut the bastard down, Magnolia.
Really?
Yeah.
He said that?
Yeah.
No kidding.
But you know what? I watched that recently, and I was like, I wouldn't want a single thing cut. It doesn't feel like 3 hours.
I think it does.
I get so invested in every fucking character that I'm just like, I'm glued. And time just means nothing to me.
But you jerk off to Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay. That's true.
And you have seen it and enjoyed it. So, I mean, like, people going in the first time watching a 3-hour movie, like, oh.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's about time is relative to interest. Captain America Civil War is 2 hours and 27 minutes. That's almost 3 hours.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Infinity
War. And I felt like I was like, I felt like I was trudging through that movie.
And I'm sure the Infinity War will be pretty long, too. There's a lot of shit to do. Like you said, the story is going to dictate that little length, more of a length. But
well, I feel like for that those movies, it's action as well.
Yeah.
And this is like, you were outroing. You were outroing. And I just like jumped in here.
You do that often. I hate you.
There was something I wanted to say about the, how you talk about how you need an action move or action sequence at the very beginning of the movie to get the audience's attention. Best intro for a movie I've seen this year is from The Lobster.
Yeah.
Because it just sets up everything perfect and it draws you in. It drew me in immediately. And I was just like, okay, this is where this movie's going to go.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It worked in that film, though.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't action.
No.
It wasn't like, here's the part, even though Rachel Weisz's narration is already in the past, future, but here's the part where Colin Farrell's in the woods and we lead up to that point later. That would piss me off.
Yes.
But the way they did that was setting up the world, and you're like, you have questions. Why is she just shooting this fucking animal?
Well, exactly. And well, and think how subtle it is. It's not bombastic. It's not a huge bombastic, you know, scene that requires $2 million to do the special effects for,
right.
Or even the practical effects added in there too.
Yeah.
Super simple.
So yeah,
brevity.
Brevity is the soul of wit, they say. So that's our thoughts on the decades. I mean, we'd love to hear what you think for thoughts of the decade. Yeah. I mean, what's your favorite decade? What sticks out for you? I mean, to me, I feel shitty saying 80s because I grew up in the 80s.
Hmm.
It's like when you, oh, it's my favorite Bond because I first saw him in this Bond.
Now you're dragging out the book.
No, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
It's an interesting topic. Like, what, I mean, because the 70s, obviously, you weren't around, but it's your favorite decade. And there's a reason, because there's great shit in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
But let us know at notquitepod@gmail.com.
Go to our Facebook.
That's right.
All you gotta do is put a number and a zero afterwards for your favorite decade.
Oh,
that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. That's simple. Click onto our Facebook page.
Yep.
And type in 7090 00.
Don't do 00. We will delete you and ban you from the Facebook page.
You can even put 1910s.
No,
is the best decade of film because it didn't exist.
Sure, tell us what you love and why, and we'd love to hear about it. We make a conversation, but so that's it. Next week we'll return with John, hopefully.
Maybe.
And we'll have finally have her talking Cemetery Man, his communal movie. And week after that, we are gonna have some. We're gonna have a guest with us. So look forward to that.
I feel like we're going to do something a little different with this guest, too.
We are. So, teaser for that. But I'm Jamie.
I'm August.
And thank you for listening. Have a great day.
And a wonderful evening. We love you.
Go balls deep every night.
Balls deep?
Balls deep.
Balls deep?
Don't.
I like to go taint deep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's really up and in there.